Welcome to Teen Scientist on WDIY. On this episode, our youth media host, Abigail Wood, talks with Julia Emmert, an incoming biology student at the University of Notre Dame and a cystic fibrosis researcher. Julia shares how her personal experience with CS has driven her passion for science, advocacy, and research, and her dedication to ultimately finding a cure.
So going through your day today and what the lab looks like and traveling to the lab, could you maybe go in depth about the research you do?
Yeah, of course. So before I talk about my research, I want to talk about a common and dangerous infection and that people with cystic fibrosis tend to get, and it's called Pseudomonas aeruginosa. And while people without CF can sometimes get Pseudomonas infections, and people with CF, it could become a chronic and very dangerous infection because the thick mucus creates a perfect environment for it to thrive and grow and not want to ever leave. And over time, though, these infections could contribute to lung damage and become harder to treat. And then we often rely on antibiotics. And antibiotic resistance, though, is becoming a huge increasing concern. And also the fact it isn't good for anyone's body to be constantly pumped with antibiotics. And so then my project, since I can't directly work with Pseudomonas, that's too dangerous for me, unfortunately.
Okay.
I focus on these molecules that are produced from the infection called rhamnolipids, and they are surfactants, which means that they are slippery. They're actually in micellular water
Girls
to take off their makeup, and very small concentrations, because what they do is they help break down oils. Because
it breaks down makeup.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and with Pseudomonas, it helps them live because it breaks down oils as food to keep it alive and maybe other things, which I'm trying to figure out. And it can be, though, toxic at very high concentrations to cells, since they're so slippery, they could interact and slip into cell membranes and make them more permeable or porous. And so researchers think that they may contribute to lung damage by their help at keeping Pseudomonas infection alive, and causing stress to airway cells, increasing inflammation, potentially interfering with normal lung function. And something that makes them interesting is they remind researchers that it may not only be the bacteria itself causing damage, but the molecules released by the bacteria play an important role. And so I'm studying something that hasn't really been done before, how they specifically affect airway cells, especially for cystic fibrosis. It is a calcium-focused lab, so I'm looking at how calcium signaling changes inside the cells. And calcium is important because it acts like a messenger system that helps cells communicate distress. And I'm also studying whether they affect cell survival, mitochondrial health, ciliary function.
Okay.
And again, cilia are tiny hair-like structures that are supposed to help move mucus out of the lungs. And understanding whether rhamnolipids affect them could especially be important in CF, since the mucus already causes the cilia to not function properly.
So have you found, I know you talk about with the calcium, have you found anything distinct with it so far?
Yes. So while I'm still working on gaining data for different experiments and assays I run, one thing I could confidently say is that healthy airway cells, your normal lung cells and CF airway cells respond differently to rhamnolipids. When we measured the calcium signaling, when I first measured the CF cells and the calcium signaling, there was no response. And I was like, oh, great, my research is a dead end.
Right.
And then we tested the normal healthy lung cells and there was a huge response.
Don't have a response and we do.
Yeah, so we're trying to figure out why and still investigating the mechanism, but it could mean that CF cells just process cell signals differently than healthy cells.
Yeah.
Since calcium acts as an important messenger to cells, changes in the calcium could potentially affect other downstream processes, including inflammation, mitochondrial function, ciliary activity, which I'm now focusing more on. And in a simpler way to explain it, calcium, let's say the rhamnolipids enter the cell, and then the calcium molecules are supposed to warn the cell and be like, yo, there's something toxic coming in here. We have to do something. We have to set the alarms off. Whereas CF cells, maybe they're just reading their books and just like, we have more important stuff to deal with here. So
the alarms don't go off the same.
That, we're still trying to figure that out, but that is definitely a big possibility. Okay. And then also I've learned is that CF cells just aren't healthy cells with extra mucus around them. The cells, I've seen firsthand that they behave completely differently. And we're seeing differences in how they respond to bacterial products, and understanding those differences can eventually explain why infections are just so damaging in CF. And even with growing the cells, CF cells take so much longer to grow instead of normal healthy lung cells. Maintaining them is different. And I think the way I think about it is that we're trying to connect the dots between infection and lung damage. And we know that people with CF get chronic Pseudomonas infections, and we know that Pseudomonas produces rhamnolipids. We're trying to understand is what happens next, and like filling in the gaps. Like, do these molecules change calcium signaling? Do they stress mitochondria? Do they affect cilia? Do they affect the damage? And if we map out those pathways step by step, it could give researchers a better idea of where future treatments might intervene. And like, it's a very small project. I'm not curing CF yet, but yes, but I do believe my project is one small piece of a much larger puzzle, just trying to help better understand CF in general and why CF lung disease happens and how we could treat it more effectively.
I'm so interested now in how the cells are different. Like how that comes about, or is it from just being born, like mutating, or
like are they naturally different, or just all of the, you know,
do you have it? No ideas yet. It's kind of just up in the air still, or do you kind of know why they are different?
I think they're just
different.
They're just different. Yeah.
Have you seen a pattern of, is it everybody with cystic fibrosis has different cells, or are some people kind of have a mix, or I don't know, have you seen any of that?
I mean, I think if you have cystic fibrosis, there is like, you know, because there's the CFTR protein that affects the ion transport, and that's just like, it's there, it's just not you know, built correctly. And if it's not built correctly, then this is like the most simplest explanation. It can't go to the cell membrane and let ions in and out. And that's in many organs. So I think with that missing, and you know, what the modulators try and correct first, like there's the first part, how they try and correct how it's built. And then the other part helps move it to the membrane. The other part helps make the channel stay open. So, you know, that's just what we don't have with CF.
That's so interesting. It sounds like your personal experiences and scientific interests are becoming closely connected, and the research you're doing.
I'm so excited every day. Like, I want to do this as my job, and because I'm contributing so that future generations don't have to go through this.
And I think having the like you personally having it is what's that drive, in a sense. Yeah. Right. You're like, I live with this every day. How can I solve it for somebody else to not live with this?
Yeah. And also, you know, I admit I'm not the smartest in the room. I'm not the smartest in the classroom, but, you know, I might take out extra hours to study. I don't get things immediately, but what I do know is I have this fight and drive for something greater than myself. And that is what pushes me each day.
I always say the same thing. You don't have to be the smartest in the room, but
you're in the room.
You're in the room, and you can always be the most hardworking. What you can and can't control. You can control how hardworking and driven you are. And so sometimes IQs just doesn't. Yeah. But that brings us to, I know you're excited for the future. You recently announced you'll be attending Notre Dame. Congratulations. Mm-hmm. What Thank made you. That school feel right for you?
I could go on for hours about that. I mean, it has a special place in my heart. My dad went there and he passed away. So that kind of is my only, not only connection with him, but that is a very strong connection I have with him. So, you know, I never thought of myself as even able to apply there because, you know, it is very prestigious.
It
but
is,
I really pushed myself junior year once I figured out, you know, I have interest in doing CF work. And I flipped everything around, not my grades, but I really flipped what I put my time into and made, you know, I believe if I didn't have CF, I mean, it definitely has helped me get into Notre Dame because a big...
The work you've done, yes, and the advocacy.
And what they promote is, what do you fight for? And when I saw that, I was like, oh, this is easy. I know what you're... They actually have done cystic fibrosis, what do you fight for ads, and a year where they did do CF because they do... what is really cool is Notre Dame too. So they might not do as much direct CF work. They do in their Ireland Trinity campus, but
that's so cool.
Yeah, so maybe I'll go there.
Yeah, but I was gonna say maybe you can study abroad.
Yeah, they announced this upcoming year a huge rare disease institute, and they have a rare disease patient advocacy minor, which I will be doing, and they have rare disease galas, rare disease day, rare disease Instagram accounts, and I actually participated in the patient partnership project where
that's so cool.
Yeah, classmates were partnered with someone with a rare disease, so I got to participate in that. So yeah,
I think what you've all said and the connection that you have really with your dad gives I think such a purpose. But not only that, in a sense the school feels so perfect with just everything it does surrounding CF. Like hearing about this, I'm like, oh, this is insanely perfect, and the minor and everything. And
I mean, it doesn't have like, you know, a CF foundation close there, but I do believe I could make a change there with cystic fibrosis and make sure every single student there and faculty member knows what CF is. I make sure to do that through my Instagram and, you know, I plan on hosting fundraisers and continuing that. And again, like, I've been so honored to hear from friends, my youth group friends and everyone that, and who follows me on Instagram that I didn't know what CF was, or I knew it from 5 feet apart or something.
Yeah.
But like from your posts, I now know what it is and I care about it. So
that's podcast is great for you to get the word out and to really inform people about misconceptions and things that people might not know, and the research you're doing to not solve a missing piece of the puzzle, which is really important because that's all we can do in science is try to solve one missing piece and then somebody tries to solve another. And once they're all solved, the puzzle's solved, which is fantastic. Yeah. And that's what's truly inspiring.
Yeah, thank you. And I do also have, I think it's cool with science is that also biotechnology, you could combine business, you could do anything. And I think, you know, I do have an interest in business with, all right, I love this lab stuff, but also you have to figure out how can we make sure everyone has access to these life-saving treatments? And also, how do we make these treatments, like, bring them to life, basically, and out to the world? That's something, hopefully, I plan to do at my dream job, Vertex Pharmaceuticals, because they've saved my life, basically. So I would love to hopefully work there one day. And I love Boston, so.
Julia, thank you so much for sharing your story, your research, and your vision for the future. Your work is already making a difference in the lives of so many people, and I am so excited to see all that you do and hopefully reach all your goals in the future. Thank you for joining us on Teen Scientist. I'm your host, Abigail Wood, here with Julia Emmerts.